worship with you. A lot of joy and a lot of energy in this place. And may the Lord keep it strong, be a bright light for here. Also glad to hear about the work of FAIR and your link to the children's home there in Honduras. What a great way. I can tell there's a lot of joy as you see those slides, knowing that you've got some skin in the game on this one, right? You've been a part of that. I was thinking one of the most memorable Mother's Day I bet my wife Linda would ever say was when we were in a children's home in Tanzania. And we were far from our kids, but surrounded by a couple hundred African kids. And they put on a special presentation for us with singing and dancing. And it was really moving. Sad in a sense because we wish they had mums and dads that they could be with that day. But joyful that they could be in a home that loved them, fed them, and gave them the good news of Jesus. So that's what your church is doing. We've already had a full morning, so I'm going to just shorten what I was going to say and have one thing. How's that? Just kind of like pound one nail. I got one thing to say. I do want to have a word for mums, though. This is the day that we celebrate mothers. My mom's all the way out on the West Coast, and I'll be calling her today. And if you've got a mom, students, that's a good word for you. Make sure you get a shout out to mom somewhere, even though you're far from home today. But mothers, I guess my big point today is this. Godly mothers make a great impact. That's just the way it is. God has set that up. Godly mothers make a great impact. Now, mothers always make a great impact. They always do. And it's not always great and it's not always godly, right? I remember hearing about three moms that were sitting around bragging about how much their kids love them. And one of the moms said, "My kid loves me so much that he sends me a dozen roses every Mother's Day. I can count on it." The next lady said, "Well, that's nothing. That's nothing. My kid doesn't just wait once a year. My kid loves me so much that he lives far away, but he calls me every Sunday night and we talk for an hour. That's how much he loves me." The third mom said, "Oh, you know nothing about the love of a son. My son lives in New York City. He's a big guy down there, big job. And every week he goes to a psychiatrist and he pays $90 an hour and all he talks about is me." Now, that's the kind of impact you probably don't want to make, right, as moms. But it is true that mothers make an impact, and godly mothers make a great impact. You've heard, finish the statement for me. The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. You read the Old Testament about all the kings, it always names their mother, right? So-and-so became king, and his mother was. And there's a link there between the impact of a mother on the impact of a king who impacts a nation. And I think that you as moms need to hear today that you are just making a huge difference. You're making a great impact. The problem is you don't always feel that in the day in, day out kind of push of life. Whether if you're nursing infants or chasing toddlers or herding grade school kids or transporting teenagers, I think a lot of moms are just trying to make it through. They're not trying to make a difference. They're just saying, if I can make it through, that will be a win. And that's why Mother's Day is a good idea. It's a day when we kind of consciously stop and we remember to thank Mother for what she's done and who she is. And we also reflect on the impact that a godly mother makes. Today, what I want to do is just give you one example of a woman in the Bible who made a huge difference, a difference that's actually come all the way to you. This one mom made a difference that's touched you. In fact, we don't know much about her. Her name's only listed one time in the whole Bible. But her boy, he gets a lot more airtime in the Bible. In fact, his name is listed like 25 times. He had two books that were penned that were addressed to him. His name was Timothy and her name was, anyone know? Eunice. Her name was Eunice. And Eunice impacted a young man who actually has had a part through the scriptures impacting your life and mine. And today I want to just tell you, I could highlight a couple things about Eunice's life that made a godly impact in the life of her son that you can take away, that I can take away. But I just want to hit one. I want to pound one nail. I want to say one thing. Of all the things I could say about Eunice that caused her to make an impact in her son's life, and all the things I could say to you moms about what will be the biggest impact you'll leave in the life of your children. By the way, this truth applies to all of us who work with the next generation. Whether you're a grandparent or a dad or a Sunday school teacher, I'm focusing on mom, but anyone who's impacting the next generation needs to hear this one. And I want to show it to you. It's found in one verse. If you'll open your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 1, I want to just look at verse 5, highlight one thing. I think the biggest thing that a mother can do to make an impact on her children, and then I'll apply it to all of us, and we'll pray and finish up our morning. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. The Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy, who was like his son in the faith. And he writes to Timothy and he says this, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. He says, I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. So Paul writes to Timothy and goes, you know, Timothy, I'm thinking about you and I'm thinking about your sincere faith. That faith first lived in your grandma, Lois, and it lived in your mother, Eunice. And you know, Timothy, I'm persuaded it's been the torch has been passed. That faith lives in you. And the thing that I'd like to say to you mums today by way of a thank you and by way of an encouragement and even an exhortation is this. The biggest way you can have a lasting legacy, a great impact in the life of your children, is by having a sincere faith. The best thing you can do for your kid is to have a sincere faith of your own. Right? That's what Paul says. Timothy, I've been reminded of your sincere faith. It first was in your grandma and your mom. Now it's in you. In other words, your mom, Eunice, your grandma, Lois, they had this sincere faith, Timothy, and I see it in you. See, godly mothers make a great impact by having a sincere faith. A sincere faith. Not a sinless faith, but a sincere faith. That's the word he uses. I have been reminded of your sincere faith. See the little word sincere there? The Greek word that's translated sincere is one you might recognize. The Greek word there is on upakritos. First part on is like not. And then the last part, upakritos, gives us our English word what? Hypocrite. So on upakritos means not hypocrite. He's saying your faith is non-hypocritical faith. Now, in that day, the word upakritos, or hypocrite, in Paul's day, was used in the context of Greek theater. And actually, it wasn't a negative word. It was just used of it's like our word actor or actress. A hypocrite was somebody who, on the theater, played a part. They got on the stage and they pretended to be someone they weren't. They wore a mask. You ever seen those pictures of the Greek mask? Like one happy, one sad? Like, they were hypocrites. That's what they were called. Like we would say actors or actresses. But in time, that word hypocrite began to be applied to other arenas, and it started to be used of anyone who played a part, anyone who was pretending, anyone who was faking, anyone who was acting in a way that wasn't truly them. They began to be called a hypocrite. So what it means to have a hypocritical faith means to have a pretend faith, a faith that's wearing a mask, a faith that's not genuine. And Paul writes to Timothy and goes, hey, Timothy, I know you have a non-hypocritical faith, sincere faith, because I know it's in you. And by the way, it was first in your mom, Eunice, and in your grandma, Lois. You have a sincere faith. Moms, I would ask you today a question. You want to leave a great impact in the life of your kid? Then here's my question for you. Do you have a sincere faith? Like, not a sinless faith. Nobody has a sinless faith. But do you have a sincere faith, a genuine faith? My wife's mother, Janet Honkoop, was married and I think already had some little kids. She was already kind of well into life, and she had been raised in a church. So if you had asked her, do you have faith? She'd go, well, of course, I go to church every Sunday. She was in a home where they would argue theology over lunch. That was kind of like what you did over lunch. I mean, these people were like serious about their faith on one level. But unfortunately, as she came to see, it was kind of still at arm's distance. And one day she went to another church and the pastor got up at this church and he said, all of you who are saved, raise your hand. And well, they never did that at Janet's church. But so here's this pastor going, all of you are saved, raise your hand. And a whole bunch of people raised their hand. And she looked around and thought, well, I think so. And so she kind of hesitantly put up her hand. Well, the lady next to her, who I don't think knew her, leaned over and goes, don't you know if you're saved? Are you saved? And Janet, kind of embarrassed and awkward at the moment, said, well, yes, I am. Well, she left, and that question started sticking in her head and wouldn't go away. Am I saved? Am I saved? And she started realizing she was churched, But she wasn't so sure if she was saved. And she didn't know, how do you know if you're saved? So she and her new husband got together with an older, wiser couple. She said, how do you know if you're saved? And that night he explained to her that being saved means that you don't just know that Jesus died on the cross and rose from the grave. You don't just know that. You don't just kind of believe that in a historical way. You embrace that in a personal way. Like you ask that sacrifice on the cross cover your sins. And you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. And she had never done that. And that night, or shortly after, I'm not sure which night it was, she opened up her heart, cried out to the Lord as a personal prayer and said, Lord, I want to believe that. I want you to be my Savior. And I'll tell you what, it changed her life. Suddenly there was this life inside. In fact, did you know in our verse, Paul talks about a sincere faith, and here's how you can tell if you have a sincere faith. It's a faith that's living. Because look, verse 5 says, I've been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also. Paul's saying, you know what this faith is, this sincere faith? It's like alive. It's living in you. There's going to be signs of life. And in Janet's case, there was suddenly signs of life. She had a new love for the Bible. She had come over in the war and hadn't had a chance to go to school because she needed to help her family make enough money on the farm. So about grade 6, she had to start staying home. So she didn't have a real book education, but she had a hunger for God's Word. And she began to read it and study it and grow in it and turn on the radio and listen to the preachers that were preaching it. She was just a sponge because something was alive in her and needed to be fed. And she longed for it. She began to teach it to her children, like my wife. And pass on to them the legacy of faith is not just something you do on Sundays. It's something that lives in you because you've believed it in your heart and God is changing you on the inside. And that legacy was passed down to my wife, Linda, who now has passed it down to our children. And we trust they will pass it down to their children. There is this Lois to Eunice to Timothy. In our case, it was Janet to Linda and now hopefully to Ryan and Michael and Lindsay. And moms, I would say to you, if you want to have a great impact on your kids, the very best thing you can do for them is to have that living, sincere faith. So as I close, I ask you the same question that preacher asked to the congregation where Janet was in. Are you saved? Like, do you know? Now, if you're here today and you're kind of thinking, well, I think so. I don't want to look like I'm not, so I think I'd raise my hand. But in your heart, you'd say, well, I'm not really 100% sure. If you're like my mother-in-law was that night, then the good news is you can be sure, just like she became sure. You can have a living faith like she had a living faith. You can do what she did. You can open up your heart to Jesus even today and say, Jesus, I want to know that faith lives in me. I believe in you. I trust in you. Forgive my sin. Be my Lord. Make it personal, right? Wouldn't that be a great Mother's Day gift for you if you were given the gift of eternal life today, if you've never done that? You can do that today. And then if you have a living faith, can I just encourage you to keep stoking the faith, keep growing in the faith, keep coming to a church like Faith, keep listening to the Bible, learning the Bible so that what you're passing down, what spills out of your life to your children and then your grandchildren and other people's kids is a living faith that touches them with the good news of Jesus. I'm going to close here just by actually giving all of us a moment to pray. We're going to pray about two things. First of all, I'd like to just invite you to take a moment and say a prayer for your mom. If your mom's still living, would you pray for her? If your mom's not, maybe pray for another mom that you know, someone who's close to your heart. Would you pray that today God would work in the life of your mom, bless them, give them grace, and give them faith? Would you pray for your mom? And then secondly, I'm going to give you a chance. If you never have made sure that you have living faith, I'm going to give you a chance just to say that prayer to the Lord. So bow your hearts and your heads with me, please. Lord, in these next few moments, we just want to talk with you. And first of all, we want to say thank you. Thank you for those who have impacted our lives. And that list starts with mom and dad for many of us. And so I'm just going to ask that all of us now for a moment, would you pray either for your mom or for some other moms that you know, would you pray that God's smile would rest on them today and that they would know that their sacrifice was not unnoticed by God, that it was a gift given Would you pray for a blessing on the mums that you know around you? Take a moment and do that. And then I come back to that question that was asked to my mother-in-law many years ago. Are you saved? And if you're here today and you're not sure you could really put up your hand with confidence, but you'd like to know that, and you're ready to tell the Lord you want that, I'm just going to give you some words that you might want to pray. These words aren't magical words, and they're only good if they express what's going on in your heart. But if God is stirring in your heart, how about on this Mother's Day, you receive the gift of life, the best gift you'll ever get, the best gift you can ever help pass on to your children. You might want to pray something like this. Dear Lord, I thank you for Jesus, that he died my death and rose from the grave. And I put my faith in him. And I ask you to forgive my sin and change my life. Let your life live inside of me in a way that changes me now and forever. And let my life be used to impact the lives of others for you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.